Let's keep riding, okay? You're 4-4, essentially, as you hit the bye and the halfway mark. You can look at the expectations from preseason or simply look at where you were last week. Like, knowing all we know, are you feeling good or are you feeling like crap as a 49er fan? Let's go to Richie in South San Jose. Hi, Richie. Thanks for calling. Richie! Richie is...
Sorry, I was muted. Can you hear me?
Oh, buzzer beater, Richie.
Wow, you threw it up from half court.
We got to go to the monitor to see if he got in time.
Yeah, hold Richie. On. Red hanky. Okay, Richie, what's up?
Okay, so, all right, so kind of echoing like with the thought of the last caller, I have a different perspective, though, on it. So, like, looking where we are right now, I think I'm not unhappy with where we are because of the fact that first of all, like what you said, thank God for George Kittle. And second of all, thank God the NFC West sucks right now. So we do have a shot at making we're probably going to make the playoffs. But going into the season, I had higher expectations on, and my worry right now, okay, I know we're going to get back these players like Greenlaw, McCaffrey, maybe even Hufanga comes back. And maybe Hargrave comes back to the playoffs. But even if we have these players, I'm just looking at it from a global perspective. It's somewhat sad right now as a Niner fan, just because unless those players who come back add some crazy injection, I think the discrepancy in right now between us and like the Lions, some other teams in NFC, even the Redskins maybe, and even the overall upper echelon teams in the NFL, if we make it to the Super Bowl, I think we're not, those are the teams I feel like are way better than us, and I don't see how we're going to match that this year. It's somewhat sad to see that, and I don't know if it's due to the coaching. I want to say Sorensen, because our defense is flat out nowhere how it was. That's a big difference between the previous years when we made those runs. Our defense is nothing like that right now. Our defensive line is trash. I mean, okay, maybe that might be extreme. We have Nick Bosa, but we can be run on, and I'm worrying that. That's something that we won't be able to fix, and maybe Nick Sorensen doesn't have it in him right now to come overcome those flaws.
Yeah, Richie, thanks. I think the Nick Sorensen conversation is still a living, breathing thing. It's still evolving. I don't really know yet exactly what to say about the defensive coordinator situation. I think that we'll get more information as players come back and we see a full season. But it's interesting to me that when a team is 4-4, and you can go, well, they're not as good as the Lions and the Commanders. And it's like, well, right, they're not as good right now. But we've already watched this. Like, they were 3-5 a few years ago. And I guarantee you, all of us in that moment were like, oh, God, they're not going to compete with the top of the conference. They're not going to be able to do it. And then they did. So, the exercise for me, as hard as this is to just... focus in on last night, you beat the Cowboys, now you've got your bye, and I cannot stress enough how important the next 13 days are. We have evidence from before that the 49ers rejuvenate over the bye. It's also when Kyle Shanahan makes adjustments. This particular bye, it's also when Christian McCaffrey and Juwan Jennings will return to action, and it encompasses the trade deadline. I really believe that there is a way that the 49ers come back in 13 days a completely renewed and refreshed and different football team. It's possible.
Even if they come back as the same football team without any trade acquisitions, and maybe you still don't have McCaffrey and you don't have Greenlaw, the very fact that you get 13 days of rest and you get to go take on a Tampa Bay team that's more depleted, I think that you can still be better than you have been in the second half just based on, you know, being able to turn the page and come off a bye. And you look at what Kyle Shanahan has done in November, his record's been spectacular, and his record after the bye in particular seasons has also been very good. And the whole thing about you're not as good as Detroit, I agree. You're not as good as Washington, I also agree. It doesn't matter if you don't play them, and it also doesn't matter if on one Sunday in January, you are better. And that's the only time that this matters. Now, you do play Detroit, so it would be nice to be better than Detroit when you actually play them December 30th, my sister's birthday.
Nice.
Kaner turning 60. She'll be in the house at Levi's Stadium.
Long time from now.
Yeah.
Long time from now.
That's 2 months. Two months and 2 days. And yeah, enjoy your 50s, Gail, because in 2 months and 2 days, 6 to 0, and that's December 30th down there at Levi's. So that's the only time that you have to be better than Detroit.
You might not even have to be better than them. I don't know what's going to happen between now and then.
Exactly.
Who knows? You might have clinched the NFC West already.
Yeah.
Who knows?
You might also be 5-10 or you might, at that point.
Yes, that's right. You might have clinched
just one quick follow-up on
in the draft.
Joe's call about the playoff odds. I did a quick Googleage, and FanDuel has the Warriors to make the playoffs minus 144. The implied percentage is 59%.
Okay.
So FanDuel is saying the Warriors have a 59% chance to make the playoffs, and the Niners are at 45, according to ESPN.
Yeah, that's ESPN, but I looked at FanDuel's Niners, and they've got them as a favorite to make the playoffs also.
What's the number? I'll find it.
No, I've got it. I've got it right here. I think the Niners...
They're probably about -160 to make the playoffs.
Well, Bet365 or Bet Rivers, mm-hmm. these are all right. Bet Rivers has the Niners to make the playoffs at -182.
Yeah, wow. Okay.
And Bet365 has them at -170.
Okay.
Anyway, the point is they're a favorite. They're a favorite to make the playoffs.
-170 would be a 63% implied percentage chance. And ESPN, with all of their fanciness, has them at 45%. So either way, we're not used to them being down in those neighborhoods at four and four.
We didn't even think we'd be talking about make the playoffs. What are we talking about?
We're talking about the playoffs.
That is not what we, right? That was not
playoffs?
What we thought we were going to be worried about going into week 9. Ray in Petaluma. Hi, Ray. Thanks for calling.
What's up? Shout out to Dibs from Petaluma, Casa Grande, and Santa Rosa.
Yep.
Shout out to you, Mark Willard. You got me through COVID 2020 on KBR.
Oh, brother.
Couldn't have done it without you, brother.
I couldn't have done it without you, Ray.
No way. I was lifting strong. But I wanted to talk about the Niners. They Lynch always makes a trade. He's got to do it on the defensive side of the ball. He's got to do either interior lineman or a linebacker just to until help get there, you know, until the playoffs. That's really what I'm calling about. And also shout out to Nick Bosa for wearing the MAGA hat last night. You know, gotta go, gotta make the message strong. We're gonna win it in a week from now. But what are you guys' thoughts?
All right, Ray, thanks very much.
a lot of shout outs there, Ray.
Well, now my thoughts are different there because of the last few sentences, but. Actually, I will say this because I'm not afraid of it. I know nobody wants to talk about it. I think everybody gets to express their opinion. Everybody gets to express their opinion. So there's no fear of that. Everybody gets to express their opinion. Now, I think then when you're asked about it, you shouldn't shy away from it. But, right? Like, if you want to run out in front of the camera and throw this in everybody's face, I would be prepared to answer questions about it. And so that is about as far as I will go into
And his
into
answer that. Was, I don't really want to say
talk
much
about
more
it.
About it.
He said it's an important time.
Yes, it's a very important time.
Indeed it is.
The thing that bothered me the most is that he was upstaging his teammates because his teammates were having a moment, and that was their moment, and he made that about himself when it should have been more about them. And yeah, if you want to, you can support whatever you want to support, and you're allowed to wear whatever you want to wear. And it's great that we have these First Amendment protections, but in that spot, that just kind of was annoying for me, where you had a rookie up there and you had a guy on National Tight End Day where it was their moment, and then he kind of made that about himself.
Yeah, absolutely. I just, it's funny to me when people are like, I have a message that I want to tell you. And then someone doubles around to go, oh, tell us about your message. No, I don't want to talk about that message.
Yeah.
I thought you were supposed to stand on it. Stand on it. You lay the card.
Stand on your words.
You play the card.
Yeah.
That's what I would say
Waiting
about that.
Waiting for the
that.
Draymond Green there.
Yeah.
Stand on your message.
We're
It's good, Draymond.
We're sponsored by LifeSource Water Systems. Nowhere near done with your call. Steve Kerr at the top of the hour. 888-957-9570. Willard and Dibs.
Bill and Divvy.
On 95.7 The Game.
All right, there's more Tirico, NBC, Sunday Night Football. I'll just say this quick because it seems more obvious than anything in the whole world. Re-sign D'Amador Lenore.
What a pick.
Thank you very much. That's the end of my TED Talk.
Well, and the other piece of it is, and I will, I'll say this, and I don't want to be too dramatic, but you do have the trade deadline coming up, and you may want to think about trading Mooney Ward because...
Maybe.
Two pass interferences yesterday, and there was a stretch of plays where he wasn't on the field. I don't know if it was injury or if they chose to go in a different direction, but he has not been good. Nope. And so if he's going to be gone at the end of the year anyway, why not make a move and maybe find him a greener pasture now and get something for him?
Well, it provided that you have another corner that you can stick out there that you like.
Oh, you got corners.
You know? Well, do you?
Yeah, Adam. Mike Yadam.
Good Lord, that didn't go well.
Bernardo Green has looked really good.
He's out there now.
Lenore's been special.
Yeah, I don't want to lessen the room if, you know what I mean? And suddenly now you're weak at the position just because he's a free agent at the end of the year. But I hear you. It's a possibility. Hey, before we go back to the phones, how about this, all y'all crazy people? You listen to our show and you might end up in Vegas. It's that simple. You listen to the show... and you might end up in Vegas. Every day this week, you've got a shot. Between 5 and 5:30, that's when you need to listen. Your chance to win two tickets to see the Scorpions on March 6th at PH Live at Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino. And a two-night hotel stay at Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino. And round-trip airfare for two. So you get a flight, you get a room, you get tickets to the show. We'll give you a code word between 5 and 5:30 today. That's also right around the time Steve Kerr is going to be on the show. All you have to do once you've got the word is text that word to 20357. 20357, and you'll be entered into the contest. Viva.
That is an incredible... and I don't normally say this, but that's an incredible package. I try not to talk about packages too often, but...
it's a pretty good package.
Two nights, a flight, and Scorpions!
That's right. And the show is in the same building as your room, so you can drink!
It's stumbling distance.
Yeah, I mean, I know you can get Uber or whatever, but like, yeah, you don't even need to do that!
Incredible.
Just find the elevator. That's your only assignment.
Scorpions, Klaus Meiner.
You can even, like, ask them when you're getting the drinks, like, how complicated is it to find the elevator? Like, not that complicated. Yeah. Well, then give me another round.
That's right.
Let's go. So, anyway.
20357 will be the number to which you need to text.
Correct. And we'll give you the code word between 5 and 5:30, okay? And Steve Kerr at 5. Guess who called? It's Kurt, everybody. Kurt. In Hayward Hills on Willard and Dibbs. This is becoming a daily dive for us. Kurt, hello, sir. How are you?
Hey, how you doing, fellas? How you doing? How's everything?
Better than last Monday, Kurt.
Hey, what did I say? I said 30-20, the score was. I was off by 4 points.
It's still a cover, Kurt. It's still a cover.
There you go, my fellas. There you go, fellas. And let's talk about the 49ers. What? We're 4-4. It's a weak division. I don't think there's anything to worry about. If we make the playoffs, we still got a shot at it because we got Purdy. Purdy is an elite quarterback. And you know that is, fellas. He's elite. And, if, you know, there's one thing I need a favor from you guys. I need a favor from you guys, okay? I'm going to tell you what the favor is. Anybody that calls over there, when they get out of hand, forget about it and flush them.
I love it, Kurt. Kurt, you got it. You got it, my friend.
Yep, you got it. We'll never do that to you, though, Kurt.
Before you flush them, forget about it and then flush them.
What'd you think of Purdy's performance yesterday, Kurt?
I told you, he choked at the end. What did I tell you, fellas? At the end, he choked.
No,
I
mean, Purdy, not Dak. Purdy. What? How would you characterize Purdy's performance?
Guess what? I characterized the performance as top of the line. I thought he was great. He did a lot of great things. He got the ball out. And what did I tell you about? He was going to give it to the only receiver we got, and he got most of the ball.
Yeah, George Kittle.
That's right. I said Kittle the other day. I was talking about Kittle. I said they're going to throw to him a lot. Who else do they got? They didn't run the ball much, but the defense came alive, and we're still not going to say anything bad about the defense coordinator yet.
Not yet.
He gets another week, Kurt. Yeah, yeah.
How long until we can approach that subject?
Well, I don't know. I mean, they look pretty good, the defense. We shut them down pretty good. I mean, I think our core in the back is great. I still think we got a shot. But listen, as long as you got Purdy and you got the great coach that he is, you still got a shot at going all the way. The only team that I can see beating us, and we know who that is Detroit. I don't see anybody else in the NFC beating us. At the end of the season, we win that division, we get in the playoff, and we hope we don't run into that runt again at the end of the season.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Man.
I can't wait for next week, Kurt, when we find out what your nickname is for Baker Mayfield.
Well, all I could tell you one thing, the guy that, you know, the quarterback of Dallas, he choked just like I told you at the fourth quarter at the end. He threw the ball. There was nobody there. He choked. I mean, he really, listen, he's now worth $60 million. Purdy is worth the $60 million. He showed that he was worth $60 million, not that loser quarterback of Dallas. They're not going anywhere. And as far as the 49ers, hey, fellas, they're going to do something. Don't count them out yet. Anybody calls or says anything wrong, get out of here and flush them.
Thank you, Kurt.
Thank you, Kurt.
Appreciate you bringing
That's
it
good
home.
Advice. That's good advice. What did you think of Purdy's performance yesterday?
I thought he was very good. And, you know, we had a little show thread earlier, and Lucas, director of sports, said something as I was in my rewatch. I was actually in the first quarter of the rewatch, and he thought that Brock was really bad in the first half. And
not
then,
a great
and
first
then really
half.
Good.
Yeah.
I thought, watching the game again, he was very good in the first half. He made ostensibly two mistakes, fourth down throw behind Debo, bad throw. Debo was wide open on fourth down. That moves the chains. And then the Tom Brady tuck play where he tried to pump and hold and it just slid out of his hand, and that was a fumble, but they got the ball back. Other than that, I thought he was damn near flawless in the first half.
Did they call that a fumble? Or did
yes,
they call it incomplete
a
pass?
No, that's a fumble. That
How
was
so?
A fumble.
His arm is coming forward.
No, but when you're trying to collect the ball, when you're clearly not throwing it, it's the empty hand rule. So when you go forward, even though you're going forward, it's not a pass anymore. They changed that rule.
I could have sworn that they made it 2nd and 10 right after that, and it was behind the line of scrimmage when it was recovered. I know the Niners recovered it. I could have sworn they did not. They did
Let
not
me go to the notes.
Yeah,
because
I want
a fumble.
Yeah, they have the referee who came on right away, and he said, "Yeah, it's the empty hand where it's clear that the intent was not to throw it, and then the ball comes out, and that's a fumble."
And they
fell
the
on
ball
it,
back to the spot of the fumble because you can't advance a fumbled ball. The offense.
Interesting, because I thought it was still like 2nd and 10 right after that. But okay, all right, yeah, and that's like I don't even know if that's just kind of. That's one of those things. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like if you see something and then you're like, nope, I want to pull that thing back and it squirts out, I'm not going to come down someone's road for that. I think he missed more throws than you're sort of mentioning in that first half. I thought he was wobbly. I didn't necessarily know all the time whether that was, you know, I don't know, is the receiver in the right spot, not, whatnot. I did not think Brock was as bad as a lot of people were saying.
Yeah.
But I didn't think he was very good either. It was sort of a run-of-the-mill situation. I was more put off by the holding penalties that kept coming, that kept taking things off the board that I thought really changed the whole 49er offense, not just Purdy, but in the second half, he was fantastic.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the first half, and you know, the 4th and 3, he threw behind Debo, and on that drive, 3rd and 7, they blitz him, and he beats it. He sees it, he beats it, and he goes to Pearsall for 14, which moved the chains, and that's a play that I definitely highlighted. Debo with the drop on 1st and 20 after Kittle held. They had a screen pass, and that play would have gone for maybe 15, 20 or more, and that's one that hurts Brock in his ledger because that would have been a big play. And the fumble, when he had that, it made it 3rd and 17. It was 2nd and 10. He fumbles it, and Grandy's right. They move it back to the spot.
Okay, yeah.
And then 3rd and 17, they ended up having to punt after he threw incomplete to Conley.
Got it. Okay. 888-957-9570, the number. Austin in San Jose next up. Hey, Austin, what's good? Austin, you there? 3, 2.
Austin.
What? Austin. Gone. Rich in
get
Fremont.
Out of here.
Get out of here with that.
Get out of here and flush them.
And you got flushed. All right. Rich, you're next.
What's up, fellas? Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, man.
So, I believe George brought the whole kittle and caboodle yesterday. Just a phenomenal job by him. And I think you're right. I think he is the best all-around tight end in the league when you look at everything that a tight end does. But, you know, the thing is fans are, you know, really hard on the 49ers right now, particularly the defense. Got a little scared in the fourth quarter. And I know, I get it. People are saying, you know what, this has happened so many times this year where, you know, we get a lead, we can't hang on to it. The fourth quarter comes and we fall apart. Okay, and in this sense, we did not. We hung on. But I think the message I need to get to the fan base is this, is that, guys, the defense does not have all of its starters out there. Okay, you saw that. Remember the play with CeeDee Lamb where he's wide open? You got guys running into each other. If that isn't rookie, what is? I mean, come on. That's just his rookie mistake.
The only worry, Rich, though, is that those guys are starters now. I mean, that was Jair Brown and Renardo Green, and I get that Green is just getting mixed in and he is a rook, but, you know, these guys play. They play every game, and so you're not wrong, but they can't do that anymore, not if you're going to play NFL football.
Okay, but to your point, you said they're starters now, but how long have they been starters and how long have they been playing together? Not long.
Yep.
So we know in the NFL, Mark Willard, You have to gel. You got to play together. You have to have consistency. That's why consistency and continuity is so important in the NFL. If you haven't played together a long time, that's going to present itself. And that's what happened in that game last night. You saw that. But my point being is this. They managed to get the win when they needed to. And to your point, they got 13 days. And a lot of people are talking about Washington and Detroit and all these other teams. It's like, hey, guess what? A lot can happen in 13 days. Okay, hey, the teams that are winning right now, they can start losing. Jared Goff can get injured. Any one of those possibilities could happen. Now, I don't want us to rely on that, but what I am saying is in 13 days, a lot can happen. Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks, Rich. That's true, although I will say this. Did you all even notice today that the Chiefs went out and made another acquisition? They went and got that linebacker off of the Patriots. It's pronounced Uche. Joshua Uche, I think that's how you pronounce it, and he's a solid pass-rushing linebacker. And after the Chiefs got DeAndre Hopkins, they just went out and got a pass-rushing linebacker and added him to the defense that I think is the best defense in the NFL. And so the Chiefs have already made two trades, and all they had to give up in this one was a
sixth.
And not even next year.
Right.
It's in 2 years.
Yeah.
A sixth-round pick in 2 years. To pick up a pass rushing linebacker that a lot of teams were after. So the Chiefs are making moves. Maybe the Niners are biding time. They wanted to see what was happening last night. But I would really love to see them get in on that market and don't just make your acquisitions the guys who are coming back from injury.
Yeah, it would be nice to have additional players on top of that. And the trade deadline, I believe, is in 8 days, if I'm not mistaken, a week from Tuesday. So you still have plenty of time, and you get into the bye, and you've got an opportunity to really take a look at what you have and what you still significantly need. And I think an interior defensive lineman is first and foremost on that list. And Rich makes a good point about continuity, and I was talking to a friend of mine who's on a defensive staff in the NFL, and one thing that he was saying was exactly that, because we were talking about Nick Sorensen and a new coordinator again for the 49ers, and he said to me that it takes time with a coach and a team to develop continuity and for the coach to know what the players can do. And I know he's been on the staff, but he's coordinating for the first time, and you have a lot of new players on this defense, so it does take a significant amount of time for everyone to get on the same page and gel. And I disagree with Rich about the defense last night, because you played bend but don't break, prevent, and Dallas scored. Fine. You kind of knew that was going to happen.
Sure.
For me, the issue was what you then did with your offensive possession, and you got your defense right back on the field. That, for me, was the bigger problem.
But did you just say the trade deadline is a week from tomorrow?
I thought it was November 4th, if I'm not mistaken.
Is that a week from tomorrow?
Yeah.
Is that a week from tomorrow, November 4th? November 4th is a week from today. Because I was going to say...
Oh, it's November 5th then.
Is it?
Yeah. Yep.
They literally put the trade deadline on Election Day?
Yeah, why wouldn't they? The NFL's king. Forget your cute little who's going to be the dog catcher in like, Podunk.
I was going to vote, but the Niners got Diontae Johnson. I got distracted, and I ran out of time. So here we are.
1 o'clock our time.
1 o'clock our time.
November 5th.
Next Tuesday.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought it was the 4th. I thought the 4th was the Tuesday, but it's the 5th. So there you have it.
There you have it.
You've got 8 days.
And by the way, for those who are interested in wide receivers, and it was said to be that a lot of teams are after them, one of the two players generating the most interest, Christian Kirk of the Jacksonville Jaguars, broken collarbone, out for the year.
Oh, no.
So to me, the price now goes up maybe a touch for Diontae Johnson. He's the clear top man available. Free agent at the end of the year. Won't cost you much. And it's funny that people are all saying, yeah, we're all after wide receivers. I'm looking at the teams who are real contenders. You're not going to acquire the guy if you're not a contender. Buffalo already got Cooper. The Chiefs already got Hopkins. Devontae Adams has already moved. I guess maybe the Steelers are in on the wide receiver market. It would be funny for them to acquire Diontae Johnson. They just had him a couple years ago and let him walk. Maybe the Ravens, but I doubt it. The Texans are getting Nico Collins back. Maybe the Commanders want a receiver. I could see that. The Lions definitely don't. The Falcons don't. The Bucks would be the other team. They just lost Godwin for the year and Evans for a few weeks. They're sitting there at 4-4. I don't think anybody else in the NFC West wants to acquire wide receivers. There's a lot of talk about him, but I just don't see a huge line of teams. I know you're out on the idea. I don't know, man. I don't know. I'd love to see the Niners go, yes, show up the run defense. I'd love to go see him get another weapon and have a little bit more depth at that position.
It's very possible. And Ian Rappaport yesterday said that reportedly Kyle Shanahan likes Diontae Johnson, yep, and that he thinks that they would be a good target, a good landing destination for Diontae Johnson. And even if the price does go up, because you know now you lose Christian Kirk off the possible trade marketplace, you do have a ton of picks. And as I mentioned last week, you've got more comp picks coming in, third round picks for losing D'Amico Ryans.
D'Amico, yep.
And you know, Rand Carthon,
sure.
So you get picks for losing those execs. So you're going to have more third rounders coming in. Plus, you've got some comp picks for free agents you lost last year that the value of those is still pending.
I do think there's a little bit of a hesitation to go block Ricky Pearsall because they do like what they see, and he's now here, and he's a first-rounder. But I just, man, I get so concerned because Debo is hurt so much, and Juwan is coming back, but he's coming off injury, and it just feels like the group gets really thin really fast. Conference call today, Kyle Shanahan was asked if the wide receiver position would be addressed at the deadline.
It's not necessarily just try to address certain positions. You look at what's available that you think can help your team get better, and if there's anything out there that's available that we think can help our team get better in the immediate without hurting us for the future, that's something we always look into.
Okay, that's not a no. That's not a no. So I'd love to see Diontae Johnson end up on the 49ers. I really, really would.
Just interesting factoid about yesterday, just looking at some of the numbers, Chris Conley led the 49ers in wide receiver snaps. He played in 76% of the snaps, 52 snaps, and he got one target. So that might tell you the priority of you know what Kyle Shanahan sees in the receiver room.
Yeah, and I'm sure those would go to Juwan if he were here.
Right.
And he should be at the next game. They have announced they expect him back in 2 weeks at Tampa Bay. But again, like, I don't know. It feels foolish to think that no one's going to get hurt for the rest of the year with the way it's gone so far.
Agreed, but I also look at what they do with their wide receivers, and they don't really use or need, like, Deontay Johnson. If he comes in here, he's probably not going to get 10 targets. They don't really use their receivers like that.
That's okay.
Yep.
I'm fine with 6 targets.
That's he'd be lucky to get six.
Yeah, Brandon Ayuk put up 1,300 yards last year getting 6 or 7 targets a game.
Yeah. So, you got 95 targets. That's about right.
Yeah.
So that's about 6 targets a game, if that, 5 or 6 targets. And even yesterday, like, you had Debo get 7, Pearsall 4, and Ronnie Bell had 1. So you don't really have a lot of targets to go around.
How about Matt in San Rafael? Hi, Matt. Thanks for calling.
Hey, guys. So I was there last night, and there were a couple things that, from being in the stadium, first of all, Purdy, I thought he had an okay first half. I thought the whole team offensively sort of struggled in the first half. And I mean, he was amazing in the third quarter in particular. But the two things that struck me is, one, it doesn't seem like the team, and particularly the defense, can stay totally focused for 4 quarters. They have letdowns. And maybe it's the coordinator. I don't know. I don't really agree with Dan that they were playing prevent, because Dallas scored in less than a minute with, I believe, no timeouts. So that was kind of shocking to see. The other thing is the offense has to find an identity, and I don't think that they found it. They had a great quarter, and it's the first really great quarter I've seen them have in a while. But it seems like Kyle, it's like he's coaching not to lose when he gets a lead. And I think that hamstrings him a lot as far as his play calling. Again, fourth quarter, where it felt like it was slipping away. They need to find who they are as an offense and as a team, I think, if they're going to make the kind of progress that we want them to make, and that they're going to be able to make any kind of run at the end of this.
Matt, thanks. I will say this. It's interesting when people say Kyle is coaching not to lose. Sometimes I feel like we get going with narratives that we've had from previous years, and then we stick with them when things sort of play out in a frustrating way. I don't think you can accuse Kyle Shanahan of playing not to lose when he literally comes out in that set of downs where you're trying to burn the other team's timeouts, and he throws the ball all 3 times.
Or tries to, anyway.
You could accuse him of being overly aggressive.
Agreed.
Overly not playing not to lose. He might be playing to win a little bit too much. I don't have a problem with the first down pass. I certainly don't have a problem with the third down pass, because now it's 3rd and long. The 2nd and 3, where instead of running the ball to Garendo, you drop Brock back. Garendo misses a block, and Brock gets absolutely torched. Listen, the 49ers today sit here incredibly lucky that he did not fumble that football. If he fumbles that football, the Niners might have given Brock Purdy the ball, trailing 31-30, and looking for a field goal to win the game with a kicker you just signed off the street a week and a half ago.
Yeah, that happens at your own 37.
Yep.
So 2nd and 3, and they tried to pass it on 1st down. They didn't, and he scrambled for 7, and then 2nd and 3, you're absolutely right. Just run the ball there. Run it, make them burn a timeout, which they did because you got sacked, and then 3rd and 10, you had to pass it, and you checked down to Juszczyk, and they used their final timeout. And to the caller's point, it was the previous drive where they did play prevent, and Dallas didn't score in a minute. It was the drive after that they were able to score in a minute.
Right,
and it was CeeDee Lamb, 70 yards and 3 catches. And, you know, that wasn't them playing prevent. That was just CeeDee Lamb owning them.
We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Based on preseason expectations, it was Super Bowl or bust. Now, many people just happy that they got to 4-4 and they're tied for first. So based on all that, and after yesterday's game, do you wake up today feeling good, or do you feel like crap about the Niners? We're taking calls on it. 888-957-9570. Steve Kerr in 20 minutes. And then I also want to remind everybody again that between 5 and 5:30, it's your chance to go to Vegas. And we'll do it every day this week. every day between 5 and 5:30 this week, your chance to go to Vegas, your chance to see the Scorpions show. This is on March 6th. You'll get a room at Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino. You'll get round-trip airfare for two. It'll be a code word that we give to you between 5 and 5:30. You text it in to 20357. That simple. You're entered into the contest, and yes, you can do it again and again every single day this week. Okay, so more of your calls next. We still need to fade to Dibbers, Monday Night Football, Steve Kerr in about 18 minutes, Willard and Dibs.
Steph's ankle.
Well, Steph just hurt himself and has taken himself off the floor, limping badly, and he's going to be helped to the locker room.
Bay Area, it's Brandon Pajemski. Catch my head coach, Steve Kerr, with Willard and Dibs each and every week right here on 95.7 The Game.
I'm always nervous with those.
And clear. All right. Podzminski, and he's right, Steve Kerr's going to be on in 12 minutes. Steve Kerr about to be up in here. Okay? And remember, we're giving away a flyaway for two to see the Scorpions in Vegas March 6th. You get the round-trip airfare. You get the room, Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino. Sometime between 5 and 5:30, we'll give you the keyword. So keep listening. And essentially, all you got to do is listen to Steve Kerr, and that's already pretty fun anyway. So it's not like we're asking a lot of you.
Right.
Crying out loud. Okay. I mean,
just, all you have to do is sit there and listen. Just sit there.
Just sit there. Where are you going?
We will do all the work.
Yeah.
We'll do the entertaining. I'm about to give out a lock. Oh. You can make some money. Just sit there. Sit there, win money, listen to Steve Kerr, and go to Vegas.
Can we update the proceedings now? Because
I'm hot.
No, you're not hot. Oh. Because you lost Thursday night. You got the Niners.
Yeah, I did.
But
you're welcome.
You have won, as you love to say, one in a row.
One game.
That's always my favorite. I've won one in a row. That's not a row.
It's a fact.
That's just a thing. It's just a one. You've won one. One game. The Niner game. So if
it's an Ottoman game.
If you win,
until it wasn't.
If you win tonight,
yep.
You're not hot. But you've won two in a row.
I'll be heating up.
You're going to have to win tonight and Thursday to be hot.
If I win tonight, I'm back to 500. I believe I'm 12 and 13
That's
on
correct.
The year.
Is that accurate?
That's correct.
And all right. Some have called me Mr. Monday Night because I've been crushing Monday Night Football.
What do you mean by crushing?
I mean, yeah, I'm probably 3-4 on Monday night.
1-1.
Although there have been double headers. Yeah, a lot of splits.
1-2.
A lot of split skis.
1-3.
Come on, Mark.
2-4.
Getting hot.
3-4, okay. 4-4,
yeah,
5-4,
Mr. Monday Night,
Mr. Monday Night,
Mr. Monday Night. I've always
going backwards. Yeah, you've been bad on Monday night of late.
A lot of doubleheaders.
Oh, doubleheaders. I'm like, how can be 6-4? It's only week 8. What are we doing?
Scat-da-da-da.
Fade the Dibbers.
I wouldn't.
It's time for
Fade the Dibbers.
Please explain.
Nostra Diblis gives out his pick. You bet against it, you make money.
Cash me out one time.
It's that simple.
Hey, Dibs, your pick stinks.
Dibs, what's the lock of the day?
Was that taken in a Warriors practice?
We have an update. We have an update. Because you had already said the pick was in.
Oh, it's in.
But the line has moved. So the Steelers are no longer a 6-point favorite over the New York football Giants. Instead, tonight, the Steelers are 5.5-point favorites. So now it's 6 to win. Dibs, take her away.
Well, your boy's been hot this week. 9-6 against the spread.
Not hot.
Having a pretty good week. And the pick was made way back on Wednesday. And the more I've thought about it, the better I feel about this pick because Russell Wilson, you stink. I love to root against the little guy. He's not very good. You give me Danny Dimes and a bucket full of points. The pick is the New York Giants in the 5.5. Cuckoo! I'm taking the Giants, yeah. Cuckoo! Yeah! Take those Giants!
Oh, my God.
Seven games, they've scored a total of 99 points. It's a low-scoring game. This one feels like a 21-17 Steeler win and a Giants cover. Cuckoosh. And I've been slaying Monday night. 6-4. I've been waiting all day for a Monday night. That's how the song goes, right? Something like that.
Steelers probably win this game by 3 touchdowns.
Fade me.
I will.
I'll be back to 500 tomorrow, and I'll be one win away from being hot.
You're going down tonight.
I don't think so.
I do.
But what do you know?
But
lost in the Survivor Pool just, week 2. Couldn't even make it out of September.
That's not true. That's not true. I think it was week 4. But anyway.
Is that Survivor thing still going? Is any Survivor Pool?
No, they rebooted it. We're starting it again in 2 weeks because the guy was like, we're out of fun already. We're not supposed to be done by week 5.
Done.
Like, it's not even, we're not even scratching Halloween yet.
Somebody won after, what, week 6?
Yeah, so he rebooted that thing.
Man.
I mean, might as well make more dough, right?
And that's a nice piece for whoever won.
Oh.
Probably a nice, healthy piece. And to have it be done in 6 weeks, all tidy, like stress-free.
Dog.
Yeah.
That's not a tidy piece. That's a down payment.
5 figures, I'm sure. It's a solid 5 figs.
Yep.
Knocking on 6's door.
Knock, knock.
That's a nice
knock,
hit.
Yeah. So anyway.
The Giants and the points, cuckoosh. It's in.
5.5. Damn. Okay.
Yeah.
Danny Dimes on the road against a great defense. Good luck.
Right. And Pittsburgh's offense, which is not very good. I mean,
it's funny that you said that because Russell Wilson has played one game.
Right.
So far this year, and they scored 37 points.
Right.
But go ahead with your bad self.
Who'd they beat?
The Jets.
Okay.
Who are they playing tonight, dog?
The Jets are terrible, Holmes.
Oh, and the Giants are?
Giants are ready for a bounce back. I'm happy with it. I'm taking the 5.5 gladly.
You have to be happy with it. You're not allowed. There's no backsies.
And I'm not going to fade myself because then that would be going against the bit. Right. Even though I'm following the money because the line has moved. It opened at 6.5 and it's moved down to 5.5. So yep. There are many people, including the sharps out there, who like the Giants as well. It's
not necessarily what it means. The sharps are waiting for 5:14 to make their pick.
Right.
They're waiting for that number to come down so they get a little extra action.
Waiting for that thing to tumble all the way down to 5.
About that action, boss.
Yep, no
you
doubt.
You know what I'm saying? Anyway, well, you just made the game fun.
It's always fun.
No, it's always fun, but I already told you, like, tonight was actually listen to your kids' night because, no, I know, Granny, you don't have kids, but tonight's a listen to your kids' night because, A, just on the surface, very little sex appeal to the matchup, and B, I got no, like, stressful fantasy stuff. I mean, if Pat Freiermuth and Chris Boswell want to really go off, maybe I could find some action. But for the most part, no. I've already taken Sam Lubman behind the woodshed this week here at 95.7 The Game.
That's a real tough task.
No points needed. I mean, his team's name is Patrick Mahomes.
His team is awful.
Yes, and it's been beset by injuries.
Sure.
Including Christian McCaffrey.
Right.
But anyway, yeah. So, like, now you just made it fun. So that's
it's
good. Good job.
It's always fun. You realize that there are only 272 of these babies in the entire football season. So the scarcity makes it so no matter what the matchup is, it's always fun. And I know one of these NFL games this year will be the 272nd most fun. But the fact that you only get 272 of them makes it awesome. Just doing the math in the NBA, 1,230 games every year in the association. Not including the play-in or the in-season tournament, which adds a couple of more games. So not as much scarcity in the NBA. And similar, and the number in Major League Baseball is almost double that. 2,500 games, roughly, in Major League Baseball.
Comcast Business Text Line 925. It scares me when Dibs has the same pick as me after I've already made the bet.
Yeah, I get that. What he's saying is we should give out the pick earlier in the show. That way people can be prepared.
We could, but then the drama would be gone.
Right.
You got to have a build-up and anticipation, Dibs.
Well, text or tough guy.
You know what I mean?
If you're so tough, then take the bet you just made with me, double it, and fade the dibber.
I don't think he was acting like a tough guy. He put an LOL at the end of it. I think he was light and airy.
Well, he's obviously terrified now. So.
Well, so he's just being honest with his emotions. What's wrong with that?
Nothing's wrong, but take action. Double it and go the other way against yourself and me.
Well, then you don't. Won't. Yeah, then you
exactly.
Don't, then you don't win anything. Then you're just hedging yourself. You're going to lose one and win
if
one.
If you double it, then you're going to win double against the one you're going to lose that's with me. You get that, right?
I see. You said double it. Got it.
Don't you get it?
I didn't.
I feel like Steiny right now.
The first time I did not. I did not. But now I do.
There you go.
Yeah.
Which, it's weird if you do that.
Anyway. Yeah, sorry. Anyway.
Yeah. Take the Giants 5.5 Kukoc. Okay. That's in. Let's bring it home.
The thingamabob where I do it still has it at 6.
Yeah.
So I'm waiting.
The thingamadoozy that I do with my,
on the world to change.
My dad, my late father's former employer, they run a little pool ski and the numbers come out on Tuesday. I got it at 6.5. So there's that.
No.
Because it's a spreadsheet. So the spreadsheet goes out and that's,
okay.
They lock them in.
Steve Kerr is going to join us in 2 minutes. And there's a wee bit to talk to him about. I don't know if this has gotten lost for some of you in a work day and a 49er Cowboy game and all of that, but the Warriors have announced that Steph Curry will be out for at least the next 2 games and then a reevaluation sensation later in the week for Steph.
Cha-ching!
The same will go for DeAnthony Melton, who is already suffering from the back issues that dogged him throughout the last year of his career. And so he will miss at least the next 2 games as well. And in theory, he was one of, if not the, backups for Steph Curry. So there's no Curry and no Melton the next 2 nights against the New Orleans Pelicans. And Andrew Wiggins is questionable with a little bit of a back tweak also. So strength in numbers quickly turned into, I hope it works for the next 2 nights against New Orleans. Which, you know, listen, it's obviously, it's still so early, but the optimism off of those first 2 games, I don't know, last night's game puts a little bit more, I don't want to use the word urgency, but I think there's a little bit more angst now on these games, especially because they will be a little bit more shorthanded. You don't have to do that 10-man rotation.
Right.
So that's good, but be interesting to see what they look like.
Yeah, and he played mostly 11 last night, and I'm looking at Kyle Anderson, 3 minutes and 46 seconds, he was a -9. And I don't know if there was an overarching reason why Slo-Mo didn't get additional minutes and was more of an 11-man rotation. And as you mentioned, with no Steph now, the big question for me is, you know, how does this change, obviously, the starting lineup, because Steph won't be in there, but in general, the rotation. And I know you can't replicate what Steph does, but you know, what's the real plan as far as who gets the additional minutes and all the rest of it?
Well, and Murray obviously is injured and out for the Pelicans. DeJounte Murray, who was acquired in the offseason. And then there's this. I don't know if this sort of helps people feel confident about going against the Pelicans. I don't know. Did you see what they did over the weekend? They had a not a home and home. They had a not home and not home with the Portland Blazers, the same way they're doing here. 2 games in a row in Portland. And we know we saw Portland as a team that's like, you know, building, does not have any veteran NBA players on that roster pretty much. Last night, they lost to Portland by 22 points. And then they beat them back on Friday, but only by 2. And so the Pelicans are 2-1 with a home win over the Bulls, a close win over the Blazers, and then they got rocked. They got rocked in Portland by the Blazers.
Yeah, so it's going to happen, and it's always
shouldn't.
Well, Portland's allowed to win games.
They are, but by 22, that's a lot.
It is, but it just depends on, you know, how that game went. I didn't really watch it, but I wonder how these splits will end up being when you play the same team twice in a row, no matter where it is.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like when you have back-to-back games, a lot of them end up being splits. I'll do a little bit of a research project as we get deeper in the season to see if my hunch is actually correct.
Steve Kerr, moments away. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union for a low-rate auto loan. Apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer.